Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Growth Hacking Show for business coaches and consultants. This is a podcast for you to discover new business growth campaigns directly from the trenches. I am Ed Rich, and I interview business thinkers and thought leaders about their successes, failures, and business. And most importantly, what's working now in their business. Hey there, welcome. Welcome to another episode of Marketing with Books. And today we are here with Daniel Geffen. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, how you doing, Ed?
Wow, I'm pretty excited for this episode because I've waited very, very long time to actually get a hold of Daniel. Super busy man, best-selling author of The Self-Help Addict. So, Daniel, tell me a little bit about your obsession with self-help. To me, it looks like you're obsessed about that.
Obsessed with self-help. I would say more self-development, you know, trying to better myself and trying to be a better person, a better father, a better husband, a better friend. Self-help is something that I got into at a very young age, and I found myself just really getting very addicted to self-help books and articles and videos and seminars and courses. And I would just find that it was this never-ending consuming of information and very little action. And that's what I call the self-help addiction cycle.
Wow. Okay, so I'll take a back step and ask you what it is that you do for those of the people who are not familiar with what you do, and how did you come to this point?
So I've got an agency called Geffen Media Group, and we help authors. We work mainly with authors to get them booked on podcasts so that they can do a podcast tour and sell thousands of books. And what we do is we have relationships with top rated podcast hosts, and we can we get our clients booked on those shows. The other thing as well is we are actually launching a new platform called podbooker.com, which will allow people to go on the platform and pitch themselves to hosts directly from the platform. Everything is done through the platform. They can search by category. They can search by the name. They can have their profile on there, upload a video, upload their bio, keep a list of all the podcasts that they've been featured on as well. And that's all we're going to launch that in the next I believe between 8 and 10 weeks from now. I don't know when this is going to be going live, but they can go to podbooker.com now and either join the waiting list if it's not live yet, or if it is live by the time they watch this, then they could just sign up. But that's currently what we're working on.
Perfect. So tell me a little bit about your background. How was your journey like till this point?
So in high school, I was bullied for speaking out and for expressing myself. I found it very difficult being in school and being told what to do and what not to do. That kind of led me on this journey of always trying to express myself freely, because I couldn't when I was younger. And so when I got into podcasting 4 years ago, it was very liberating for me, because I could speak and inspire people, and nobody was telling me to shut up anymore. Whereas in school, they would always tell me, shut up, Geffen. It's been incredible. Podcasting has allowed me to reach audiences that I would never have reached, never dreamt of reaching. I'm here in Israel, in a small city the size of New Jersey. The country, actually, the whole country, Israel, is the size of New Jersey. That's just to give you the idea of how small the country is. Our whole country would fit in New Jersey. And I'm in a city within that little country. And so we're like a speck on the map. And when I went on my first podcast 4 years ago, And the person, the host, told me that I was speaking to, you know, over 1,000 people in, you know, 50 different countries. I almost fell off my chair because I thought, my God, how is that possible? All I have is this microphone. And in fact, at the time, I didn't even have this microphone. I had like this headset. I was in my pajamas. I mean, yeah, I didn't have to leave my house. And I could be speaking to thousands of people all over the world. And that to me was that the aha moment when I realized, oh my goodness, I've got to go all in on podcasting. It's incredible. And since then I've launched my own podcast show, reached over 250,000 downloads on the show, interviewed some incredible people from all different backgrounds and all over the world. And I've been on about, I would say, over 60 podcasts now myself. And since then, I wrote a book as well, which became a number one bestseller on Amazon, all through the power of podcasting. I'm very excited about it. I think we're actually at the beginning. It's still early days. And I urge anyone watching or listening to this to get on the train now, before it's too late, because what's going to happen is similar to Google AdWords, YouTube, any of the platforms you can think of where, you know, when you wait too long, it becomes oversaturated and it becomes very expensive. Even Facebook advertising now is way more expensive than it was, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Google AdWords, forget about it, right? It's like premium price you've got to pay. Right now, getting on podcast shows, it doesn't cost any money for the guest to go on a show. The host is happy to have the guest on for free. But that's about to change. I predict within the next 6 to 9 months, podcasts are going to cost to get on as a guest. In fact, I know a couple of podcast hosts who currently charge, one of them charges, I think, $3,500 per guest. And so the trend is being set now where it's going to be a pay to play, whereas right now it's free to get on pretty much any podcast. So don't wait till it's too late. I would start getting on podcasts literally today.
Yeah. I think in just addition to that, not only that it may get expensive, but also people will get very, very, very choosy. Just giving example from my own experience that at the time of recording this episode, I am preparing my launch of podcast, but I'm already 12 weeks booked with my episode for the next 12 weeks. I'm already like 10 of them already recorded. So what I'm already thinking before I've launched my podcast is to change my angle open to very specific segment, and instead of now bringing in wide variety that I'm doing right now of ideas into just very specific ideas per season. So for example, mm-hmm. for 3 months, I'll just bring in this one specific kind of speakers only and things like that. And that's another way of looking at it, that it's expensive, that you want to be on this podcast, but there's no availability anymore.
Correct. The big shows. Because I've become choosy. Yeah, the popular shows are way more picky. I could tell you that I launched my agency, my podcast booking agency, 2 years ago. And I could tell you that the landscape has changed drastically. You know, 2 years ago, I could get my clients on shows very easily. It wasn't very difficult. Today, it's much harder because all the good shows are booked out and they're very, very selective. They've got a whole process that you've got to go through. And that's going to happen. That's going to become even more difficult as time goes by. Why? Because more and more people are wanting to get on podcasts because they see the benefit. They see how powerful it is. And so as the podcast space becomes more and more saturated, the harder it is to be able to go on the shows. So again, take advantage of it now before it gets oversaturated.
So I have a question based on what you were talking about a couple of minutes ago, that mm-hmm. you realize the power of podcasts. But that was also the same time when everybody was talking about blogs. Mm-hmm. YouTube was picking up, like maybe there were not too many creative buzz on the YouTube, or Facebook was also, I think, at that around that time started experimenting with videos and stuff. So what made you choose out of all of those available multimedia options, choose podcasts and realize like, okay, this one is special? And what is special in this medium?
You know what I loved about, and I still love about podcasts, is that I know that we're doing a video right now because you're obviously going to use it to multi-purpose it. But what's great about podcasts is that most podcasts are done audio. And what I love about the audio is that you can listen to a podcast when you're training at the gym, or when you're commuting, or when you're going for a run, or if you're just washing the dishes at home. You can't watch something, you know, a YouTube video while you're running, right? You can't watch a YouTube video while you're driving or at the gym. You can't read a book while you're doing the dishes, okay? Right? I mean, you could try, but it'd be very difficult. All the other mediums, whether it's, you know, blogs or books or video, you can only do it if you are stationary and sitting in one place and giving your undivided attention to that medium. And that's asking a lot from someone in today's world, because in today's world, we're constantly on the go, constantly on the move, and we're multitaskers. We're always trying to do more than one thing. So audio, the reason why audio has become so big is because we're able to use what we call dead time. So if I'm driving my car and I've got an hour commute, that's time that I'm not doing anything. I'm just driving, right? Or if I'm washing dishes, I'm just washing dishes, right? But I can listen to a podcast while I'm doing that. And that's one of the big reasons why podcasts have taken over. And there's over 90 million Americans now listening to podcasts regularly. And it's incredible. The podcast space has totally blown up. The other thing that I love about the fact that it's audio only is it's very easy to record on a microphone without, when you have to do video, you've got to have a professional background. Like, you've got a very nice setup, right? I've got a background here. Okay. You know, you got to make sure you look presentable, right? With podcasts, if it's audio, you don't have to worry about the background. You don't have to worry about having a good webcam. You don't even have to get dressed. I mean, I've done podcasts in my underwear, right? Not ashamed to say it, because you don't have to worry. You're just speaking into a mic. So the actual producing of the medium is much easier than video. In terms of comparing it to blogs, so for me, I like to write, but I'm very limited in my capability of writing, whereas when I'm speaking, I could speak something out much more easily. It comes more naturally for me. Some people write more naturally than they speak, but the podcasting space has allowed people who are more natural speaking than they are at writing to be able to produce. So for me, like, you know, getting on a podcast and speaking for an hour straight, I have no problem. I mean, you can ask me any question. We can have any conversation, and I'm very, very comfortable. Yeah.
And whereas at worst, we may just screw up and laugh at it.
That's the worst case scenario. That's another point.
We cannot do that on blog.
Well, with a blog, you could screw up, and there's no problem, and you know, you can delete it. But the thing is that, you know, to create the same amount of content that you are with an audio, you know, for me to spend an hour writing, it's much harder for me to do that than to create an hour worth of content with audio. And again, I'm also more comfortable just speaking than actually doing a video. I know we're doing a video now, but in general, I can do, you know, podcasts no problem. When it comes to writing or video, it's not my strength. And so for those of you listening to this that you find it easier to speak things out, you're more vocal, this is the platform for you, hands down. And I would, you know, literally, you know, double down on this rather than trying to work on the weakness of, you know, trying to write more or trying to do more videos. You know, focus on your strengths, right?
Yeah, that makes so much sense. No, this is amazing. So let's dive a little bit into your book, The Self-Help Addict, we touched upon the topic a little bit in the beginning, but let's go a little bit. What is this book about? What's the main message of the book?
The main message of the book is how to go from being a consumer to being a creator. A lot of people, I mean, I'd say a lot of people, most people are consumers, right? But they're not creators. So we end up, essentially, it's like, imagine somebody who's obese, right? They eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, and they don't exercise. And when you eat obsessively and you don't exercise, you end up becoming obese. Well, the same thing happens when you take in information and you don't implement and you don't take action on it. You become mentally obese. And mental obesity, basically, it has the same, if you imagine someone who's overweight, they're very heavy and they feel very lazy and sluggish, and it's hard for them to move, and it's just really uncomfortable. Well, you know, when you are mentally obese, your brain slows down. You become very heavy in your mind. You become very heavy and slow, and you procrastinate and you feel low. You get into these low moods. Where does that come from? It comes from an overload of information that you're taking in, but there's no output. You're not releasing any energy. So if you read and read and read and read, or you watch and watch and watch, and you listen and listen and listen, but you're not outputting anything, you're being overloaded and overwhelmed with too much information, and nothing is being created from it. And so you become mentally obese. And of course, you're not being productive, because you're just, you know, you're watching everybody else do what they're doing, and you're becoming a spectator of life instead of playing the game of life. And that's the thesis of the book.
Wow. I think this is powerful. I can totally relate with it. When I work with my clients, I help them steer into the sea of overwhelmness with too many options, and to cut down to few or the possibly the best options for them at the current situation, current goals. But when it comes to me, I read two books on the same topic, and they two say that do this and do this, and I myself find myself confused. And sometimes I just don't take action because I don't know whether should I take this or that. And I start taking this one and I drop it in the middle. No, I think that was better. Then I try that and then like, oh, I dropped the previous one. Like, you juggle between these things. So things like these happen. And it's good to know that it's actually because of not lack of knowledge, because I thought that it's a lack of knowledge, that maybe I don't know something, but it's actually, it's very much what you're saying, that it's too much of knowledge and lack of action on that knowledge. Pretty powerful.
It's mainly lack of action on the knowledge that you're taking in.
Yeah. So what's your number one suggestion in the book to handle that situation?
See, what's really interesting is your question itself comes from a place of the self-help addict. That's a self-help addict question, right?
Number one. Oh,
just give me the number one, right? Give me that number one reason. Come on, one thing. It doesn't exist.
The magic pill.
That is the biggest issue, is we think that all we need is that one answer, and that's going to solve all of our problems. And it's total BS. You know, you walk into Barnes and Noble. Well, now you just go on Amazon, but you know, you go on Amazon and you start searching for that one book that's going to change everything. And that is the addiction. It's no different to drugs or alcohol, or, you know, you're using a substance that you think is going to cure you, right? You're taking a drug that this is going to make me feel better. It's going to solve all my problems. That the alcoholic goes into the bar and drinks because he believes that that is going to solve all his problems. And obviously, of course, it doesn't solve any problems. It makes them much, much worse. When you're going and trying to find the golden ticket, that secret, that one book that's going to change your life, or that YouTube video or that course or whatever it is, that's part of the problem. We think that one thing is going to change. But of course, then you do that thing, and then you get overwhelmed and you feel, what do I do now? And then you go to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. So you're constantly chasing. You're always chasing that one, what's the one thing? But what I will say in terms of some of the things that I talk about in the book, is number one is realizing that a lot of people think that you have to get the right feeling and then you could take action. And I think it's the wrong way around. Right? We think that in order to be able to do something, we've got to get into this mindset or this certain emotional state. But actually, action creates those emotional states. Taking action is what creates the energy and the momentum and gets you into a state of productivity or being happy. If you want to be happy, you can do things that make you happy. You don't have to sit there and try to think about how do I become happy? Or if I want to be productive, don't think about being productive. Go and do things that are productive. I'll give you another example. I'll wake up in the morning and I got to go to the gym. And I'll have all of these thoughts and emotions. I don't want to go to the gym. I can't be bothered right now. Let's go tomorrow. I don't want to do it, right? All these voices in your head that tells you, no, I don't want to do it. Help. And I look at my emotions like they're little children, right? Anger and jealousy and all these feelings. I look at them like they're little kids. I have five little children. And so when my kids want something, they say, oh, but daddy, moon, come on. It's like, I said, no, it's bedtime. You got to go to bed. No, but this. They try to, but I'm the father. So I take control. I don't let the emotions control me, just like I don't let my kids control me, because I'm the one that's in control. I have to show them, no, you are going to bed. I also don't stand there and argue with them. I take them to bed. You're going to bed. You got to brush your teeth. You go to bed, right? With your emotions, instead of allowing yourself to be taken over by them, you take control and you say, well, we're going to the gym. All of us. Well, we're all going to the gym, right? And so you go to the gym, and what happens at the gym is, and everybody could relate to this, once you start running on the treadmill or you start lifting the weights, you start doing the chin-ups or push-ups, your emotions change. So instead of complaining, they say, wow, this is actually great. This is amazing, right? When you leave the gym, your emotions all feel great. Like, wow, this is great. And so when you take action, the feelings follow. Rather than trying to get into the right feelings and then take action, practice taking action to get the right feelings.
Another powerful nugget. Totally relate with it. Yeah.
It's not easy. It's not easy because, like any, habits, it's very hard to change a habit, right? When you're used to just watching a YouTube video or just another thing, it's hard to break the cycle. It's hard to break out of it. But if you do little steps of action, you just stop yourself and you take action. Another thing I talk about in the book is getting into a habit of when you're reading a book or listening to a podcast or watching a YouTube video or taking a course and you get an idea to do something, you should stop and do the thing. Rather than waiting until you finish reading the book or finish taking the course, you should pause the book and the course or the podcast and go and do that action. Because the best time to take action is when you are in heat. When you're in heat, that's the best time to take action.
But how do you differentiate between the constant distractions? You start one thing and then you have an idea to do another thing, you do that, and then you have another idea and do that. I mean, I laugh at my wife. She's a doer. She learns by doing things. So if you give her, she read like 30 books last month. Like, she's been doing it for months now. Last year I read 100 books. She read more than me. But the thing with her is that she will definitely do something with what she's read. And often, like, for example, one thing lead to another, to another, and it went into completely different direction than what we thought. So for example, she wanted some copywriting information. She wanted to learn about that. So I gave her something, and then they mentioned, some spirituality stuff or some other thing. And then she went into those, and one thing lead to another and things. So she actually went on practicing, now waking up every morning and practicing yoga and this all started with those chain of actions. But the original thing that we were trying to do with her time is left undone. she's far from copywriting, studying copywriting and stuff, but in health and nutrition and yoga and all those things now. Sometimes it's natural, but other times, and especially in our lives, like you and I, we cannot afford to go that off tangent. How do you tame that beast?
I think if you're, let's take the copywriting as an example. If your goal is to get better at copywriting, and you pick up a book or you watch a video on copywriting, and suddenly the author mentions some reference to how to improve your memory. Yeah, it's a different topic. Our temptation is, like you said, to go and chase the rabbit. Right? Oh, wait, I need to improve my memory. Let me go and check out this article that the author referred to. I would say, take that that link, whatever it is, and store it away. Put it somewhere for a later time to check it out. But right now, you're learning about copywriting. And you've got to be disciplined about it. You've got to say, look, the reason why I'm doing this exercise is because I want to get better at copywriting. So I'm going to focus on this right now. Later, I'm going to be able to do that. A lot of times, the reason why we want to check it out now is because we're worried we're going to forget and we're not going to get to it. So I think it's important to always keep like a journal, or keep some sort of some way to be able to put it to the side, so that you know it's out of your head. You don't have to think about it, and you'll come back to it later. Because that's the fear of, oh, I'm going to forget about this. So put it to the side, put it for later, save it for later, and you'll come to it at a different time. But right now, you've got to be disciplined, and you've got to say, I'm going to focus on what I'm focusing on. I actually just interviewed Nir Eyal on my podcast show.
Wow.
Nir Eyal wrote a book called Hooked, and he actually came up with a new book now called Indistractable, which is exactly what we're talking about, is how to stop getting distracted. Highly recommend anybody who's watching this to pre-order the book. I think it's coming out in a month or two. So go on Amazon, Indistractable, Nir Eyal. Highly recommend it. I interviewed him on my podcast show called Can I Pick Your Brain? That's the name of my show. Fascinating.
Wonderful show, by the way. Recommend people to subscribe to it.
Thank you.
That's how I found you.
Yeah. So, and also, if you want to check out the episode, it's, I think it's episode 160. So if you type in Can I Pick Your Brain into any of the podcasting apps and look for episode 160, that's the episode with Nir Eyal, a fascinating guy. He spent 5 years writing this book because he did a lot of research into, you know, why we get distracted, how, what we need to do. It's amazing.
Yeah. So, cool. So, that was about the book. Now let's talk a little bit about, your services. So when was it, you wrote this book in 2017, like 2 years ago. And if I'm not wrong, you were still an agency by that time. So how do you, the book relate with what it is that you do? Does it promote you, your product, your service, your podcast, or anything? How?
Yeah. I mean, interestingly, the book was more of a passion project for me, because it was very close to my heart, because it was, you know, my journey, essentially. And the truth is, I wanted to write this book for 10 years. It took me 10 years to actually write the book. It took me a year to write the actual book, but it took me 10 years to procrastinate about the book. And it did link to my agency, because I did talk about the importance of getting on podcasts. And, you know, especially if you're a self-help addict and you tend to consume a lot of content. So, you know, launching your own podcast and getting yourself on other people's podcasts is one way to break that cycle and become a content creator. Like right now, you know, Ed, you're creating content, right? We're having a conversation. The people who are listening to this conversation, they're consuming, and you're creating, right? Both of us, we're both co-creators of this episode. And so as a host or as a guest, you are a content creator. So the book does touch upon, you know, getting booked on shows, which ties into my agency, which is what I do. But the book wasn't really written specifically as a lead magnet for what I do. I will be probably writing a book in the next, I would say, year, which will specifically have to do with the importance of getting booked on podcasts and how to become a number one authority in your space by guesting on podcasts, because that ties in with exactly what we're doing.
That's fascinating. That's amazing. So what's your primary way of marketing your agency? How do you get people to find you? Is it podcast?
Yeah, mainly podcast. My network that I grew was through podcasting. And so I would say 80% of our clients came through referrals, through ambassadors, affiliates, you know, strategic partners. And those all came through the network that I built through the podcasts. So I basically built myself a network by podcasting. And that has, you know, put money in the bank. It's grown my business, and it's incredible.
Wow, amazing, awesome, cool. So where can people find you?
So right now, if they want to sign up to podbooker.com, they can go to podbooker.com and join the waiting list there. They'll also get, we're going to have some discounts, early bird discounts before we launch. And so podbooker.com is the place to go for that. If they want to reach out to me directly, it's daniel@geffenmediagroup.com, and that's one F. So it's daniel@geffenmediagroup.com. And of course, my podcast show, Can I Pick Your Brain?
Thank you, Daniel. Just Thank before you, we go, shall we have a very quick brief about what it is that we are putting in the toolkit library for people who are watching, who are listening, to go in toolkit and learn that? Is it, are we going to talk about the details of the framework from the book, or how to get booked at podcast?
I think how to get booked on podcast would probably be more.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. So guys, don't forget to go and check out the training inside the toolkit, how to get booked on podcast. See you. Thank you very much.